Food City makes it easy to shop your way. Just pick up your groceries curbside or have them delivered directly to your home. So whether you need weekly groceries or just a quick meal, Food City's got you covered. From their doors to yours.
We got 2 hours left here on the Eric Cain Show. Appreciate you sticking with us. Welcome in the Tri-Cities listeners up there on 640 AM on the Sports Monster and right here on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
It is time for the 10 o'clock reset. That's thanks to our friends at Craven Wings. There's no longer just two locations of Craven Wings here.
Oh, it's a fish?
Officially, yesterday saw the third. It's Craven Wings Express at Foothills Mall. You can check them out right now. My favorite location, the GOAT, still remains South North Shore at Chodo with the huge TVs inside, the TVs in the covered patio outside. Great place to enjoy live music. Great place to enjoy football all fall long. Cleanest, healthiest chicken available anywhere. Gets you free Monday through Thursday. So check them out, cravenwings.com. But yeah, South North Shore at Chodo as well as Chapman Highway and Seymour. And now Craven Wings Express in Foothills Mall. All right, over the next 2 hours here on the Eric Cain Show, more Tennessee-Florida reaction. We look around the SEC coming up. What else happened in the conference this past weekend? We'll give you our SEC power rankings to close out this hour a little later on. We did not do Tennessee against the Maxims yesterday. We need to do that today to clean that up a little bit. We didn't carry the fight to our Monday segment, keep it there for 60 minutes. Tennessee Lady Vol basketball has a couple of home games. We'll tell you when those are. We'll have a flashback to Tennessee and LSU. Yes, I said a flashback. One that Eric wasn't a part of.
Oh, good.
Because I know you don't remember the one you were a part of.
Well, I was part of two, and neither one of them went very well for me.
Also that.
Had I played against them, though, in 2006, remember when Jamarcus Russell's knee was down?
Yeah, would have won 100%.
We would have won anyway, and they were really not that good. We would have beat them that year, yeah, for sure.
I learned this morning that yesterday was 12 years to the date of Ainge's goalpost game. Yeah. I didn't know that till this morning.
You see me over here cracking my neck during each commercial break. Who has two down goalposts?
Still LSU.
It's not 1975. Like, just get one. You don't need two.
Did you see the Florida players bend the upright and kneeling on Saturday before the game?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, they had to go out there early warm-ups.
Hanging on it?
Yeah. And so during warm-ups, they had to go out and with the level and fix it.
Stupid.
Just dumb. Why do you have to do that? All that and more coming up over the next 2 hours here on the Eric Cain Show, and that's the 10 o'clock reset thanks to Craven Wings. Let's look around the SEC from this past weekend. What happened around the conference? What are the stories that we may have missed in our review of Tennessee's big win over Florida on Saturday?
Where are you going to start?
I'm going to start in Athens.
Okay.
Kent State went to face top-ranked Georgia. Bulldogs win 39-22, but they only win 39-22.
The spread was 45.
Yeah.
And they only scored 39.
Yeah.
They took them lightly. That's all. There's nothing more, nothing less. I'm not overreacting to that one bit.
I saw people on Georgia message boards like, well, they're a good team. No, they're not. Don't even tell yourself that.
No,
you just
terrible.
Had a bad game. It's okay. It's Everybody
fine.
Does it.
No one plays lights out 15 weeks in college football.
No.
You just win. It's not like they won 34-32.
You beat South Carolina 48-7 last week. You play at Missouri this coming week.
Oh, gosh.
Those games will have bigger spreads than Kent. It's okay that you didn't get excited and get up for Kent State. It's okay. Promise. Don't Georgia fans go on and say they were a good team. They're not.
No, they're terrible. Your team just didn't want to play them, and that's okay. They still won.
Speaking of teams that didn't want any, Alabama 55, Vanderbilt 3.
You know one thing that's happening right now in college football?
What's that?
People are forgetting about Alabama. They're forgetting.
Yep.
Barely beat Texas. Uh-oh. They're not the same tide Alabama is really good.
Yeah.
They're still, I would say, Georgia number one, and I would have Alabama number two for winning the national championship game.
This begins a tough 3-week stretch for Alabama, though. It's coming off a 55-3 dismantling of Vanderbilt. And, you know, Vandy was feeling pretty good about their offense. Hey, where you can score some points, you scored three.
3 points.
Alabama, though, has Arkansas this week on the road. It's the SEC on CBS 3:30 game. Arkansas smarting a little bit after the Texas A&M game. Then Alabama plays host to Texas A&M next week.
Who's playing a lot better.
Though now without their top wide receiver.
Still.
And then they're at Tennessee.
That's a tough 3-week stretch.
This is a difficult stretch for them.
But you know what they probably will be after that 3-week stretch?
3-0.
3-0. 7-0.
I said it in the preseason. I'll say it now. I still love where that game falls for Tennessee. Does not mean that they're going to win the game. Not predicting Tennessee to win the game right now. But I love that you are the third straight top 25 team that Alabama will face.
Yeah. This is the hardest stretch of their season for sure. This 3-week stretch.
Love that. If they get some guys banged up, I remember in 2016, Tennessee played Alabama right before Tennessee's off week. The year before, it had been the opposite. You went down there right before Alabama's off week. They were beat up, and until Derrick Henry pounded the ball for the last 40 yards to take the lead late, you had them. The next year, it was the week before Tennessee's off week, and I believe Tennessee had lost to Texas A&M the week before. They were a beat-up, tired football team, and Alabama came in here and won by as many as they chose to. The last game before an off week, or the last game in a tough stretch of three or more, I think benefits you. So Alabama starts that stretch, though. Total destruction of Vanderbilt. Northern Illinois, Kentucky. Kentucky wins 31-23. This was a 14-14 game at halftime. The difference was a 10-point third quarter for the Wildcats. Northern Illinois is not good. Northern Illinois lost to Vanderbilt last week.
Yeah.
They're 1-3. They come to Lexington. Maybe Kentucky took them lightly. Maybe that's part of the story.
I'm sure it's part of it.
But it was just kind of a pedestrian performance. Kentucky's still not very good on the ground. Will Levis had a good game. 18-26, 303 yards, 4 touchdowns. That's what he typically does against teams that aren't very good. I don't think Kentucky's feeling great about match up with Ole Miss on Saturday coming off the performance against Northern Illinois.
See, I'm not worried about Will Levis. I'm worried about the rest of their football team. Without Will Levis right now, they have at least 2, if not 3 losses because they're barely competing and beating some of these bad teams. I'll be curious what they do against an Ole Miss. Kentucky has problems. I know they're ranked in the top 10 right now, but that will not last. It won't last.
Texas A&M 23, Arkansas 21. Doink off the field goal. Go the chances for Arkansas to be undefeated heading into this matchup with Alabama.
Two good football teams. Arkansas and Texas A&M, 2 good football teams.
I think that's the biggest takeaway from that game is
they're both good.
You know, Arkansas fell 10 spots in the polls. I thought that was a little extreme.
Well, yeah, because Texas A&M is a good football team.
Yep.
They shouldn't have dropped that far.
Tulsa gave Ole Miss all they wanted for a while. 35-27 was the final there. Rebels get the win, of course, at home.
Kind of the story of the weekend. The good teams taking the bad teams lightly, winning, but not in a sexy fashion. Other than Bama, 55-3 is quite sexy.
If you're Ole Miss, does it concern you that your quarterback situation is not better settled than it is for them right now? Jackson Dart in the game, 13 of 24, 154 yards, 2 touchdowns. But it was mostly a ground-heavy offense for Ole Miss. It seems like that's what it's going to be. Now, Dart had 116 of Ole Miss's 308 rushing yards. But I don't see him having the ability to do that even this week against Kentucky.
he'll still run, but it won't be that good. But he is quick. He can play. I mean,
he has this was his first 100-yard performance on the ground. Ran for 40 against Troy, 5 against Central Arkansas, and 40 against Georgia Tech, then 116 this past weekend. Mississippi State hammered Bowling Green, LSU 38, New Mexico nothing, South Carolina 56, Charlotte 20. It was closer than that for three quarters. South Carolina runs away with it, as you would expect, but it was a game that the Gamecocks only led at halftime 20-14. Charlotte had an opportunity in the second to start the second half.
Charlotte is terrible.
They are 1-4 on the season.
Terrible. Now, they ended up winning by a lot. You know, you could say the same thing about Arkansas. I mean, about South Carolina. They took the Charlotte's terrible. They took them lightly, hung in the game for a while, found a way to blow it out. That's the thing. I mean, Georgia kind of did that too a little bit. But you that's what the better team should do. If you're going to take a team lightly, you take them lightly, it's competitive for a while, and then the fourth quarter comes and you blow them out.
Yeah.
At least South Carolina did that.
All right, the one game we haven't talked about, we're going to mention when we come back. 865-656-9900. More on Tennessee and its path forward as well. But one more recap in the SEC when we come back. Ryan Callahan of GoVols 24/7 joins us coming up at 10:30 as well. It's the Eric Haines Show. We return next. In a game that somehow made both fan bases feel worse about their team.
Missouri Pig Howard, the football game.
Yeah, they did.
Reach for it, drop it. Brutal.
You fumble.
I mean, he was going to score.
On the goal line.
He didn't need to reach it out like that. He was going to score anyway.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. That sucks.
There were 0 points scored in the second half. The only point scored in the second half or overtime was the field goal that Auburn hit in OT.
Game winner. Give Harsin an extension.
Did you see Eli Drinkwitz after the game?
No.
He had taken his visor off and his hair was all up.
Just, he's a mess.
What did?
I feel like if he were in here right now, we both, after the interview, would say, I like that guy. That guy, he's cool. I like him. I like that guy. Yeah. But his football team is really bad.
Do you remember what I said when he was hired?
Of course not.
I said, I needed to see another year at Appalachian State. Because he inherited a program there that was very good. And he kept them very good. But he didn't have to do anything on his own other than coach for a year. And I said, Missouri, this may not be a bad hire, but I need to see a year more.
You're saying you wouldn't have hired him
at that point.
Yeah.
After another year, absolutely. But Missouri didn't have an opening then. Missouri had an opening when they had an opening. They went and hired him. They went and hired a big offensive. And then he came in, and he had a really good first year.
Yeah, they were tough.
They were bad at the start of the season, figured some things out at quarterback, and had a really good 2020 COVID year.
Every year that he has been involved, they've gotten worse.
And then the last 2 years have been awful. So he, an offensive guy, got his quarterback to go 14-24 for 179 yards, no touchdowns and interception, scoreless in the second half, scoreless in overtime, set the game of football back for years. Auburn has a conference win. Good for them.
Uh-oh. You know, I'm right about a lot of stuff. You know what I'm wrong about?
What's that?
I said Auburn wasn't going to be as bad as everybody thinks they're going to be. They're bad. They are not good.
I had some inside info that nobody there on campus felt as optimistic as you did. So Auburn is going to lose to LSU by approximately 1,000. Here's, Eric, listen to this stretch. We talked about games. We talked about Alabama, what they have coming up. Here's Auburn's schedule for the next month. They have LSU this week at home. Then they go at Georgia for an SEC 330 game. At Ole Miss. Home for Arkansas.
Ew.
They do have an off week before Arkansas.
That won't matter.
Then they're at Mississippi State, home for Texas A&M, finished out with Western Kentucky and Alabama.
They might get Western Kentucky.
I'm going to save this for over-under tomorrow, but spoiler alert. One of the questions on over-under tomorrow is, how many more weeks in Brian Harsin's Auburn coaching career? So you just clip and save that for tomorrow. Come okay. up with your thought. So that'll be one of them. It's not great. Not great down on the plains. That is our SEC recap from the weekend. Everything that you may or may not have missed out on. Hendon Hooker news this morning was named the Maxwell Award Player of the Week by the Maxwell Football Club, the Manning Award Star of the Week, and tabbed to the Davey O'Brien Grade 8 list. The Davey O'Brien Grade 8 is the 8 best performances in college football over the week. He previously was on that list after the road victory at Pittsburgh.
He's all over everything.
461 yards total offense, that helps.
Skyrocketing in the Heisman odds. I thought it was silly before the year to even have that conversation.
Yeah.
But the way he's playing, it's not silly anymore.
Yeah.
It's not.
Because you have to be good and.
He is not just playing good, but then his team loses. We were 7-6 last year.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, well, if he would have played the whole game against Pitt. He played a lot of the game against Pitt. He played enough to win. His team wasn't winning. Now he's playing even better, and his team is winning. To win a Heisman, you can't be 7-6. You can be a finalist at 10-2.
Yep.
Play good, lose to Georgia, lose to Bama, but Hendon Hooker has a real good day at the office in both games. He's not the reason you lose. Close loss. Win the rest of them. You never know.
Yeah. Let's talk to Jacob. Jacob, you're on the Eric Haines Show. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning to you. I want to ask you about Tennessee's last possession against Florida. I mean, I'm like everybody else. I'm ecstatic that, you know, Tennessee won. But if you look at that last possession, there's two and a half minutes to go. You're up 11. If you score a touchdown, you're up 18. If you score a field goal, you're up 14. In my opinion, I don't know why, but it looks like to me that they got ultra-conservative right there running the ball two or three times in a row and mismanaged that one possession. What do you guys think? What's your opinion?
Larry, we went through the sequence of it yesterday. The whole drive was Jabari Small run. Then Jabari Small run. So you had it 2nd and 5 on Florida's 32. I think Josh Heupel's plan there was, if we don't get 5 yards here in the next 3 plays, we don't deserve to win. And I think they had decided from that point that they weren't going to try to kick a field goal, because ultimately the ball was on the 30, so that's a 47-ish yard field goal. That's far from automatic. And so I think in that situation, saying we feel like we can pick up 5 yards in 3 plays and put the game, and the game's over, because at that point you're kneeling on it. I think it was the right call to do what they did.
Well, you go with who you trust more. Do you trust Hendon Hooker, Jabari Small, and your O-line running the football? Or do you trust a kicker? And I trust the run game over the kicker every time.
What about the play calling to get that 5 yards in 3 plays?
I like the run up the middle, because Jabari Small on the day was getting 3 or 4 yards every time he popped into the middle of the line. Florida really did not stack it. Really, the first 2 times in the game that they stacked him up at the line were on 2nd and 2 earlier in the drive, and then on 2nd and 5 there on the second play of
the only thing that I downs. The only thing that I would want to know, Jacob, that I don't know and I won't get an answer, is on those run plays, a lot of the times, even if you have a running quarterback or you call an RPO or something, you're telling them to hand the ball off. So they carry their fake out, and it looks like he could have kept it, but he's not being told to keep it. He's being told to hand it off. If that was the case, then I have an issue with that. I trust Hendon Hooker and his ability to read when he should keep it and when he should hand it. I believe he was just told to hand the ball off. And I would have made it more of the standard normal run where if they collapse the line down to stop us, Hooker can keep it and go get it. But I don't believe he was told to do that. I think that it's a certain style of offense where we're ground and pound. We're going to hammer it. We've been doing it all day. We trust it. I would have let Hooker have the ability to keep it. And if he had the ability, he could have kept a couple of them. I mean, he could have, but but I don't. I trust him that if he had the ability to do that, I think he probably would have.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
The last called run for Hendon Hooker in the ball game, and I haven't gone back and watched the second half play-by-play to confirm this, but I was told the last called run for Hendon Hooker or the last –
time he ran it.
The last time he ran it, other than breaking down from a pass play, was on his touchdown run in the third quarter. That as the game went on, pain level went up a little bit, and they did not want him to carry the football. Now, early in the fourth quarter, he pulled one down on a pass play when nobody was open and picked up, I think, 4 or 5 yards and a first down. But after that, the only other running play was when he was sacked. And so I think in the interest of trying to preserve him, they didn't run him in that situation or didn't give him the option to run that situation. Also because every time the rest of the game that he had given the ball to Jabari Small, he'd gotten 3 yards.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's easy to give it to Small.
Now, on that drive, to Florida's credit, they stopped him for a 1 yard gain 3 different times. And so on fourth down, they didn't go back to the well. They went for a short pass. And you threw to a guy that was short of the sticks, thinking he would fall forward, but he didn't. Good tackle by Florida into the drive. I don't have nearly as much of a problem as with that last drive as a lot of people do, and that's okay. You're entitled to that opinion. Your opinion is not wrong, but I didn't have as much of an issue.
I don't have a problem with it.
We will come back. Ryan Callahan of GoVols 24/7 joins us next to break down this big recruiting weekend on the Eric Haines Show.
Kickoff time for Tennessee at LSU is set. It'll be a noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central time kick on Saturday, October 8th in Tiger Stadium. The game will be televised on ESPN. Two Vols earned SEC Weekly Honors this week after beating Florida. Quarterback Hendon Hooker was named the Offensive Player of the Week after accounting for 461 yards of total offense and 3 touchdowns. Offensive lineman Javonte Spraggins was named the Offensive Lineman of the Week. In the NFL last night on Monday Night Football, the Cowboys took down the Giants 23-16. CeeDee Lamb had 87 receiving yards and a touchdown. News this morning out of the SEC, South Carolina has moved its game against South Carolina State to Thursday night ahead of the impact possibly from Hurricane Ian. The game will kick off at 7 p.m. Have a good morning. I'm Logan Ward.
Welcome back into the Eric Haines Show. We are brought to you by Food City, the official supermarket of UT Athletics of the Vols.
It was a huge weekend for Tennessee this past weekend.
Obviously.
Beating Florida, but most importantly, or perhaps most importantly, having a bevy of recruits in the next two classes on campus. Ryan Callahan of GoVols 24/7 joins us. Ryan, you said last week, This was a big game because there are limited seats. Only the best of the best were there. Biggest takeaway from some of the guys that you saw on campus this past weekend?
Well, it was exactly what you would expect. A lot of guys were there, and even if they had seen games at Tennessee before, and in some cases had been to some pretty good games, they all pretty much came away saying that was pretty impressive, saying the atmosphere was like nothing they'd ever seen, and really just enjoying the experience. And it's funny to cover one of these again where Tennessee actually wins the big game, because we hadn't seen as many of those in recent years, and to again follow up on the importance of the win. Not as many kids mentioned that at first, but that certainly didn't hurt either. So to see Tennessee get a win like that against a rival, definitely an added bonus. But the atmosphere was obviously the star of the show, and Tennessee fans made it a win for Tennessee before the game even started, really, with how College Game Day being on campus and how everything went. So just a pretty impressive day overall that I think definitely left a pretty big impression on everyone who was there.
I'm sure it's a little different case-by-case scenario, Ryan, but When these big time prospects come in for a game like this, do their families come with them?
Yes, not all the time. Like you said, some if kids are old enough, sometimes they'll go by themselves or go with a friend. So just it can vary from one situation to the next. Coaches a lot of times can be good about going with prospects, assistant coach, whatever it might be. So yeah, it just depends on parents' availability and things like that. But it's a lot of times families and. Or at least a relative.
Ryan, there were a ton of five stars on campus this weekend. Nico was certainly one of them. What was his message to some of those other highly rated prospects that were in that were really getting a big atmosphere, game, feel, look at Tennessee?
Yeah, you know, he definitely did some of that from talking with him, and we'll actually have an update on it today on GoBalls 24/7. He definitely enjoyed the experience. He'd only been to one game at Tennessee before. If you remember, he was at the Vanderbilt game at the very end of last season. And obviously not quite the same experience for that game. So I think he was taking it in himself as much as anything. He'd heard so much about what a game day like that would be like. And so I think he really enjoyed just kind of taking it all in and not just focusing on the recruiting aspect himself. But he did certainly do some of that, and there were some big names there, guys that he knows. We talked before about just how many guys he's been involved with in recruiting. One of the guys he's gotten to know pretty well is Boo Carter, an in-state player for Tennessee in the 2024 class out of Chattanooga. They played 7-on-7 together one time this summer where he invited Boo Carter to come up to Chicago and join his team at a tournament. So getting to reconnect with guys like that he knows pretty well already. He definitely did some recruiting. I think his message to everyone that he talked with was, "Hey, look, this atmosphere. Wouldn't you want to play in this?" And then also, "Hey, just look at what we're doing. Look at how we're playing and beating teams like Florida and ranked high now." So I think his message was pretty clear to as it was from the coaches. Really, playing at a place like this is great, and look at what the team is doing on the field, undefeated start to the season and taking down teams like Florida that they haven't beaten in recent years.
Let me run a couple of official visit names by you. How did Tennessee improve themselves with defensive lineman Davion Hobbs and with offensive lineman Vizen Lang?
Yeah, Davion Hobbs is definitely the star of the weekend. You know, a big, highly ranked defensive lineman out of the Charlotte, North Carolina area. Been to Tennessee a handful of times before, but still was pretty excited about seeing a game day environment like that, and really enjoyed it. Think he definitely came away, even a little bit higher on Tennessee than he was before. So I think that was a big visit for him. And you know, the big thing there is he's got a couple official visits left, and he's going to go to Georgia and Alabama on those next month and in early November. Maybe the most interesting thing I heard from him after speaking with him Sunday, though, was that he's already planning to come back to Tennessee one more time. He's right now shooting for a decision sometime around Thanksgiving, and he's talking about coming back to the Tennessee-Alabama game on October 15 to see two of his – two of the teams he's really considering play head-to-head. So that might not be his last time at Tennessee, it sounds like, but it was a very good weekend, and it was his open date. So Tennessee, you don't always love to have in-season official visits, but both he and Vice and Lane got to really make the most of it and spend a full 48 hours in town because they didn't have games Friday night that kind of made it a short weekend. Vice and Lane also, same deal. I think he came away really impressed, and it was really set up well for Tennessee to make a move on that official visit, and I think they did. Auburn and LSU are probably Tennessee's main competition there. Obviously, Auburn's got some issues, but is an in-state school for Vice and Lang, so that they're not out of that one. And certainly, even if there's a coaching change, always possible that a new staff there could make a late push for him. But Auburn, you can't count them out. And then LSU, he's been there for a game already this season and liked it. But I think Tennessee, coming off that visit this past weekend, seeing a game for the first time at Tennessee, I think Vice and Lang really enjoyed the experience. And I think Tennessee is at least the slight favorite there going into his remaining official visit. That was his first official visit, but he's going to try to take a couple more and wait until later in the fall to make a decision.
Ryan Callahan of GoVols 24/7, our guest. Ryan, when you hear Brew McCoy talk about Tennessee being beyond what he could have expected and the, quote, the best decision I've ever made, unquote, how does that, how can Tennessee convert that message for players who maybe aren't as sure about what Tennessee's about, whether they're from the West Coast or whether they just haven't been able to get on campus here?
Yeah, I think that is a pretty good statement there, and certainly Tennessee's had some successes out of the transfer portal. I think that's the kind of thing that that might be a good sales pitch for Tennessee to other transfer targets. When a guy like that can come from a pretty big program, obviously in USC, and say, hey, I've football and where I was before isn't quite like what we saw today in that environment, and then also to be able to say, as you mentioned, that was, one of the best decisions he ever made. That's definitely something they can use and point that out to other prospects and other transfers that, hey, this has worked out well for guys, and everyone who comes here loves doing it. So and sometimes you do sell those types of things, and it's still not enough. But it's certainly every player that can get that can get that kind of message out there. It's definitely a plus for Tennessee, and that's definitely going to resonate, I think, with some people that might not give Tennessee as much of a look. You certainly never hurts to have as many examples of people really enjoying the experience as they can find.
Where does Tennessee go from here? With you have the off week this week, then LSU, then Alabama here. I'm sure everything points to a big weekend for that Alabama game with the atmosphere that you would expect would be there again. How does Tennessee kind of set up that and what they have from that point on in October and into November?
Yeah, this one thing that interesting about this schedule is Tennessee, they don't have any late November home games. There's only one home game in November, so a 3-week stretch there between mid-October and late October is going to be big for Tennessee to get as many guys on campus as they can this season, because sometimes you'll see players wait until after their season to come to Tennessee. So they'll play their regular season and a playoff game or two, and then they'll come to, sometimes that Tennessee-Vanderbilt game at the end of the season or something like that. So that's not an option this year. So they've got to take full advantage of, Georgia, Kentucky, and really Missouri, that last home game. Those are the three SEC games left. UT Martin also in there, but Alabama, like you said, that's going to be the big visit weekend left. I'm sure Kentucky, there will be some quality players in town too, and probably some official visits sprinkled in between those two weekends. We'll see how that works out, but definitely just already from glancing at what people have already told us, that there's going to be a pretty impressive list of guys in town for that Alabama game. If it ends up being a top 10 matchup, as it's looking like it very well might be, I think you're going to see even more coming to that one. One quick thought on this past weekend, why it went so well for Tennessee, and it was as impressive as any turnout I think we've ever seen for a Tennessee game day over the past decade at least. Just the sheer quality and quantity of players. It was really, really strong. But I think part of the reason for that is Tennessee was completely in the spotlight by themselves. There was really no other marquee game in the Southeast, and that's not always the case. Usually there's competition from Alabama, LSU, Miami. Somebody else has got a big game that's going to pull some of those players away. They didn't have that this past weekend, and they took full advantage. So Alabama, we'll see if it's the same thing. There might be a little more competition that weekend, but hard to imagine that a top 10 showdown with Alabama is not going to get a lot of players' attention. So I think you'll see at least a pretty similar turnout for that game based on what we've heard so far.
All right, what do you guys have coming up at GoVols 24/7 over the next 7 days with this off week?
Yeah, as you might imagine, coaches will get a chance to go out on the road and do some recruiting later this week. So they'll be taking advantage of the chance to travel out to some places farther away. So we'll have some details on that later in the week, and also plenty of updates catching up with the, as I mentioned, long list of Tennessee targets that were in town. We've already had a number of updates on GoVols 24/7, plenty more to come because there were just so many guys in town. We'll be writing about these guys for probably another week as we continue to catch up and write all of those. So it's lots of recruiting coverage there as we continue through the open date week. And also just kind of looking at where Tennessee is going into the remaining games, a big game at LSU coming up next week, and we'll start to preview that as well. So lots to check out at govols247.com, and certainly a busy time. A lot of people checking out the site the last few days, and we appreciate it. It's definitely a good time to do that with a lot going on.
Ryan, always appreciate the time on Tuesdays. We will talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys.
It's Ryan Callahan, govols247, joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We come back, wrap up this hour of the Eric Haines Show next. 865-656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Haines Show. Some questions from the text box. Which graduate classes Brew McCoy in? It's a little complicated because of the transfer, but Brew McCoy should have this year and one more year at Tennessee, should he choose
Brewmance. To use that. Love him.
Hopefully, we'll have more time with him next year.
Well, you just have Tillman this year. Tillman leaves, and then you get Brew back. He takes over, and he has 1,200 yards receiving.
Ryan asks, how loud was the game? Do they show many decibels on how the crowd got up to? I believe it was 105 was the highest reading that I saw up there on the Jumbotron during the game. So it was loud. It was pretty consistently loud. It wasn't as consistently loud as the 2015 Oklahoma game. That's still the high water mark for me. But Florida was clearly having issues with it.
They had to completely change their cadence and go to a silent count.
Yeah.
Good job, Vols.
Yeah.
You affected the game enough that you changed how they snapped the ball every single time. Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Chris asked, do you think the reason they didn't give Hendon Hooker the option to run on that last drive was because of his shoulder issue? I do. I was told the last opportunity he had to run on a run option play was in the third quarter on the touchdown that he scored. Now, he pulled the ball down again later, including in the first drive of the fourth quarter, but I don't think they were going to call anything for him to keep it at that point.
I buy that. I'll say this, if that's not the reason, then I don't get it.
Yeah.
I understand.
He was your most consistent runner to that point.
And they tell him that. They would straight up tell him that. You're not keeping it. Hand the ball off.
Yeah.
There's no reason we still shouldn't have made the first down.
BT says, I agree with the no field goal, but maybe a little more creative on fourth down. I would have ran something where all of your receivers, including your tight end, were past the sticks. Because throwing it short of it, I know you trust Princeton Fant to fall forward and get the yardage, but he didn't. And if he runs to the line and makes the catch, he does. They needed three. He got one.
I only trust Princeton Fant so much with the ball in his hands anyway. That's not his game. That's not like what makes him a good player.
The fumble earlier in the game.
That was a great play by them, though. Yeah, I mean, like, you got to hold it tighter. You know how hard it is real time with the body's moving to throw a punch like that and hit it perfectly on the football? You don't see highlights like that. You'll go through a whole college football and NFL weekend of football and not see a play like that.
Bo lives in Auburn. Emotions are running high on the plains. I liken it to the Dooley saga. I love it. Go Vols.
Yeah. You hate to see it.
Bill says Arkansas is in a nasty mood. I think they'll beat Bama this week. Bama will then destroy A&M before coming to Knoxville, and we'll have a fair shot of really messing up their season.
Arkansas beats them. Their season's messed up already.
Well, that line is 17 points.
I'm going to go too big.
Arkansas is not beating
Alabama.
Beating them, though.
No, they're not beating them.
I'm going in the jersey closet. I'm pulling out the Arkansas jersey I have for that one, and I'm putting it on to watch that game. And I expect to be disappointed.
Hot take?
Yeah.
I want Bama to beat the trash out of Arkansas, and I want them to beat the trash out of Texas A&M. And we're going to beat LSU, and we're going to have undefeated Alabama feeling good and undefeated Vols feeling good, and things might just get weird. You know how I like getting weird.
Final hour of the Weird Eric Haines Show is next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival.
featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.